welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you were able to join me today. Well, yesterday I began doing something I don't do very often, and that is sharing some research and some thoughts that a dear friend of mine, Reverend Shirley Frisbee, who's Cherokee, she lives in North Carolina, we have had a relationship for years. We've worked together in Duck Valley as I ministered and pastored to Shoshone and Paiute Nations on that reservation, and we've maintained our friendship since that time. And she was sharing that at a recent prayer gathering, which she attends every week in North Carolina, there are pastors, leaders from various churches, and they come together, and others coming together to pray. And it's been a beautiful example of the Holy Spirit moving in unity and love. But there was a pastor who attended who shared some things, and I just want to share some things from her special newsletter that she sent out because she was so concerned about what was being shared. And as I've ministered recently on our relationship with the Holy Spirit, one of the ways He is grieved is by how we treat other members in the body of Christ. So let's go on. And she goes on to say, another reason for church decline is that some members of the body of Christ are leaving churches offended as hurting and wounded victims of some kind of abuse or disillusionment or just plain neglect. In fact, one report says that an amazing 66% of people leave a church because of an offense. Now, what is an offense? Well, by definition, Webster defines it as, and I'm quoting, the act of creating resentment, hurt feelings, displeasure. The condition of being offended, especially of feeling hurt, resentful, or angry. Now, the biblical definition, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, says that the Greek word skandalon originally was, and I'm quoting, the name of the part of a trap to which the bait is attached, hence the trap or snare itself. And in the New Testament, skandalon refers to anything that arouses prejudice or becomes a hindrance to others or causes them to stumble and fall by the way. Now, let's go back to an example in the life of Jesus. This is Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see, Peter was actually offensive because to the Lord, because he was thinking as a man would think, not discerning God's, the Father, had a plan for Jesus' birth into the world. And then also we know as Jesus continued to speak some hard sayings about, you have to, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, you can't be my disciples. Many of his disciples just walked away, and he turned to his 12 and he said, Will you go also? And Peter said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so this is a good example of how Satan uses offenses as a bait to draw believers into his trap, a strategy to get believers to not attend church. Pastor Tony Cook offers some good insight into what being offended does. What is the result of offense? And this is from his website. He says, it distracts believers from their destiny. It destroys their vision and dream and takes them away from God's plan for their lives. Offense also causes them to surround themselves with people who agree with them. He's got in parens, itching ears. Men's opinions become the basis of how they direct their lives more than God. Hurts and wounds will cause people to isolate themselves from the rest of believers. Also, when one is offended, they lose their joy, their strength, their peace, their excitement for the things of God. One can become depressed, worn out, critical, and open to betrayal. And I know by the Spirit there are some listening to me that have been and are in this place. There's no doubt, beloved, that the church falls short in many ways and has, to a degree, lost its relevance to the world, that it is in decline. However, these are only symptoms of what is really wrong, of a bigger and deeper problem, the disconnect between members of the body of Christ and the desire to go one's own way, which constitutes a disconnect from God. There are issues with rebellion, pride, and an unwillingness to be held accountable. In order to alleviate a disconnect when we feel discord, there is a scriptural solution. We have to speak the truth in love and to reason together, as Isaiah 1:18 commands. When we reason together, love can cover a multitude of sin. God has set up a pattern in Matthew 18:15-17 of going to people and getting things straightened out. Let me read that for you. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So there is a scriptural way to get things straightened out, but we in the body of Christ rarely go that pattern. Haven't you found that to be true? Why? Because the world and cultural norms of our society have crept into the church, replacing many godly principles and traditions. When we fail to go by biblical principles to resolve discord, we become part of the problem and not the solution. The church may be weak, which of course can be discouraging and even frustrating. However, 1 Corinthians 12:15 says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and that the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Just because one part of the body is different, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. This scripture does not give us the option of forsaking the body of Christ for being weak or different than we'd like it to be. And obviously, when it's a matter of heresy or willful sin among the clergy, in those cases we obey God and not man. But beloved, and I've shared this many times on the broadcast, God does not forsake the church. He loves the church. And although he offers strong warnings, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12:24, God says that greater honor is given to the parts that lacked it so that there would be no division in the body. When each member has equal concern for each other, as we love one another, as Jesus loves us, remember that was a new commandment he gave at the Last Supper, it will provide the support the body needs to keep it from dividing and having to shut its doors. Those of us who think we're stronger or more spiritual are to bear with and teach the weaker ones or less mature. One of the weaknesses of the body of Christ is, of course, immaturity and wanting to set the body in place as we want it instead of honoring the way God has set the body in place, regardless of how imperfect it may presently be. Ephesians 4:14-16 says we are to mature. Let me read that for you. Ephesians 4:14-16, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So this scripture I've just read says that we're to mature, we're no longer to be infants, and instead we're to speak the truth in love, and then we will all grow up into all things into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds up itself in love as each part does its work. The operative words for being a vital member of a vibrant church are love, unity, and support. According to Ephesians 4, I might ask you, are you joined to the body, helping hold it together? Are you an active, supportive member? Are you growing and helping the church to grow together and build itself up by doing your part? Or are you one of those 2.7 million statistical church members falling away from the church? The church isn't a physical building, but Jesus himself set a pattern all throughout the Old Testament of assembling with the ecclesia on the Sabbath in a physical building called the synagogue. And of course, if you remember from the Gospels, he even exercised his gift of teaching there. And so the ecclesia that Christ established has organization. And we can see from 2 Chronicles, the second chapter, verse 4, where it says, Solomon is saying, behold, an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, for continual showbread, for burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord. There were prescribed duties and responsibilities and forms of worship to be carried on. And this was established by the Lord under the Old Covenant. Now, we're not under the Old Covenant, but as the church, as we see from the early church, they met together, they had pastors, and they shared the Lord's Supper. And of course, there were other things. But I see my time has flown by, so we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information, and I look forward to hearing from you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.